Hi, I'm Lindsay Sween, and welcome to this installment of the AIDS Pandemic Podcast. Human immunodeficiency virus type 1, or HIV-1, invades a CD4-positive T4 cell through the attachment of the viral protein GP120 to its primary cellular receptor, CD4, and to a transmembrane chemokine co-receptor, usually CCR5 or CXCR4. Agrawal et al. In 2007 explained that the removal of 32 base pairs from the CCR5 gene results in the CCR5 delta 32 mutation, which produces a shortened, non-functional protein that cannot act as a co-receptor due to the fact that it is no longer expressed on the cell membrane. Thus, individuals homozygous for the CCR5 mutation, also known as CCR5-minus individuals, are extremely resistant to contracting HIV-1, while heterozygous people, aka CCR5-plus-minus people, express fewer CCR5 proteins on the surface of their lymphocytes than wild-type individuals, which slows the transition of HIV infection to AIDS. The CCR5 delta 32 mutation confers HIV-1 resistance by two mechanisms. The mutated protein cannot be expressed on the lymphocyte surface, and it actively downregulates CXCR4 co-receptor production by causing the formation of heterodimers between CCR5 and CXCR4 proteins that then get trapped in the endoplasmic reticulum. As explained by Nazari and Joshi in 2008, individuals with the CCR5 delta 32 mutation appear perfectly healthy in all other areas of their immune systems, which seems to indicate that the CCR5 chemokine receptor is not absolutely essential for immune function. Thus, with no selective pressure against the CCR5 delta 32 mutation, Agrawal et al. In 2007 report that Caucasians carry the mutation relatively frequently, with about 1% of individuals being homozygous for the mutated allele and approximately 10% of the population being heterozygous. Individuals of purely African or Asian descent, however, almost entirely lack the CCR5 delta 32 mutation. There is now a new antiretroviral drug called Maraviroc, which was approved by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration in August 2007 and mimics the natural CCR5 delta 32 mutation by acting as an antagonist for the CCR5 receptor and preventing the viral envelope protein GP120 from binding to it. Lieberman, Blum et al. In 2008 report the results of two phase 2b/3 clinical trials, Motivate 1 and 2, in which the effects of treatment with 300 milligrams of Maraviroc once or twice daily were compared to placebo treatment in patients who were already being treated with HART and still had primarily R5-HIV-1 infection. Maraviroc was found to decrease viral load by a greater percentage than placebo. Of the patients receiving Maraviroc once or twice daily, 43.2% and 45.5% respectively had virus particle counts of less than 50 copies per milliliter, as opposed to 16.7% of patients in the placebo group. After the 48 weeks of the studies, patients demonstrated average viral load reductions of negative 1.68 log to base 10 copies per milliliter for the once daily group and negative 1.84 log base 10 copies per milliliter for the twice daily group, compared to negative 0.78 log base 10 copies per milliliter for the control group. As would be predicted by the absence of adverse health problems in individuals lacking functional CCR5 receptors due to the CCR5 delta 32 mutation, Maraviroc produced few severe side effects for the immune system by blocking the CCR5 surface protein. According to Lieberman, Blum et al. In 2008, 21 of 426, or 4.9% of individuals taking Maraviroc, and 11 of 209, or 5.3% of individuals taking placebo, had poor health outcomes that led them to stop taking their medication and quit the trials. Most patients, 92.3%, reported at least one side effect, which included upper respiratory illness, cough, fever, and abdominal pain. The primary concern with the use of antiretroviral drugs that block the CCR5 receptor is that the HIV virus will evolve into X4 or R5X4 variants that will then evade the drug's action. For the individuals who were not benefited by maraviroc, 54.4% of the once-daily patients and 55.2% of the twice-daily patients demonstrated virus that had changed from the R5 strains to either X4 or R5X4 strains. When the researchers performed phylogenetic analyses of the viral envelope proteins in these strains, however, they found that the new X4 or R5X4 strains had developed from pre-existing viral particles of these strains that had been missed in the screening process before the beginning of the drug trials and had not resulted from R5 mutation during the course of drug treatment. Thus, these clinical trials suggest that maraviroc could be a good possibility for salvage therapy for those HIV-positive individuals who have experienced treatment failures in the current categories of HIV/AIDS medications. More studies are still needed, however, to determine the long-term effects of antagonizing the CCR5 receptor. The CCR5 Delta 32 genetic mutation and the recent research investigating it and its therapeutic implications are very relevant topics given the fact that the HIV/AIDS pandemic is one of the greatest public health concerns in the world, especially in developing nations. As cited in Lieberman-Blum et al. In 2008, the Joint United Nations Program on HIV/AIDS and the World Health Organization report that as of 2007, 33.2 million people worldwide were HIV positive, and 2.5 million of those cases were new infections. In addition, the virus's high mutation rate makes viral resistance to current antiretroviral medications a growing problem for disease treatment. The research into the CCR5 Delta 32 mutation aided scientists in developing the new class of antiretroviral drugs known as CCR5 antagonists. Furthermore, most new infections of HIV-1 are caused by R5, also known as CCR5 tropic or macrophage tropic viral isolates. Thus, gene therapy involving the complete downregulation of CCR5 by the CCR5 Delta 32 mutation inserted into cells via viral vectors could one day prevent transmission of HIV by removing the coreceptor in the semen-receiving individual. Through the CCR5 Delta 32 mutation, evolution and natural selection may have unwittingly supplied we humans with a very powerful weapon in the fight against the HIV/AIDS pandemic. Until next time, I'm Lindsay Sween, and thank you for listening.